Blog Talk Radio.
If my people who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their
He healed the land.
He promised.
He promised.
Hallelujah.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook. Welcome to Taking You to the Seats for this Monday, May 29th, 2023. And I pray that everyone in the United States is having a beautiful and blessed Memorial Day. Now, tonight's program is entitled Servant Leaders United in Prayer, because we as servant leaders have a responsibility to pray for God's people and to call others to pray. Hallelujah. Now, saints, I'm not going to lie. My heart has been truly heavy because with everything going on in this world, I don't see or hear many servant leaders telling us that now is the time to truly humble ourselves, that now is the time to truly pray and to seek God's face, and now is the time to turn away from every sin if we want God to heal the land. How can we expect the people of God to pray if we as servant leaders don't teach them how to pray or actually lead them in prayer? So tonight, I'm joined by some of the anointed leaders here at Spirit Alive in the persons of Minister Tina Brown, Bishop Lester Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and Pastor Vanessa Carver. And they have come to edify not just servant leaders, but the body of Christ through prayer. Not only will you hear them pray, but they're going to tell you about the importance and the power of prayer. But before we get into our teachings and prayer from our servant leaders, I'm going to open the program with a short word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come now as your humble servants, just praising you for the opportunity to come together to pray and to impart your holy word. We pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit will stand up in us and teach and pray in a way that it will be effective and effectual. Father God, we pray for every listener. We pray that they will be blessed, they will be touched, they will be healed, delivered, restored, or transformed. And Lord, for those that don't know you in the pardon of their sin, we pray that tonight they would come and ask you to be their Lord and Savior. And it is in Jesus' name I do pray it all. Amen and amen. Now, before we hear from the mighty servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, I've got to get this off my chest. And I first want to speak directly to the servant leaders, because some of us as leaders, we must do better. So tonight I just want to come at you simply out of love to remind you of a few things. Because if you've been called by God to be a servant leader, then you should desire to pray for God's people. But now, sadly, desire is never enough. You see, when our Lord asked his faithful inner circle of disciples to remain here and watch with me, I'm sure they had a desire to faithfully watch and pray with Jesus, the one they love. But unfortunately, their desire was not enough. Instead, they became memorable illustrations of a painful truth every servant leader has probably experienced when it comes to prayer. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That can be found in Matthew 26 and 41. How many times have we made a fresh resolve to pray for God's people or our flock, only to find ourselves fast asleep because our eyes were heavy? My beloved brothers and sisters, in the office of the called and sent, I need you to remember that not praying for God's people is a sin. Prayerlessness is sin, and we need to get really clear about that. A servant leader who fails to pray for God's people is as unbiblical as a pastor who refuses to preach God's word. One of the sweetest realities of being a Christian is that we're now slaves to righteousness, as declared in Romans 6:18. You see, despite desires of the flesh pulling us towards sin, we as Christians still have an unceasing desire to do what is right. Why? Because God has written his law on our minds and in our hearts. As declared in Jeremiah 31:33 and Hebrews 8:10. We therefore desire to love righteousness and hate wickedness. The Spirit never permits Christians to tolerate sin in their lives. And like the congregants of the people that we serve, servant leaders can never be happy tolerating prayerlessness in their lives because prayerlessness is a sin. And the prophet Samuel made this very clear in 1 Samuel 12:23 when he promised the people of Israel that he would pray for them, saying, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." You see, Samuel recognized that a failure to pray for God's people was a sin against God. Samuel was a leader among God's people. How could he claim to care for them when he didn't bring their needs before Jehovah Jireh, the one who alone who could, you know, take care of their needs? And how could Samuel claim to lead God's people if he didn't lead them to seek the Lord in prayer? To leave God's people unprayed for is to leave them uncared for, unprovided for, and unled, like sheep without a shepherd. Check out Matthew 9:36. As Christians, especially servant leaders, we're called to flee from sin and to pursue righteousness. So we must learn to flee from the sin of prayerlessness and to put on the righteous and wonderful habit of praying for God's people. Why? Because praying for God's people glorifies God. One of my favorite verses on prayer is Psalms 50:15. "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." You know what? Every day of trouble is a day that we have the opportunity and the privilege of glorifying God. In comforting the sick, in discipling new converts, in counseling different difficult situations, we can sometimes feel like we're distracted from our true calling. But this is a mistake. Each and every trouble that comes our way is an opportunity to honor God as we call upon him for help. Why? Because when we call upon him for help, he does it. When he answers our prayer and works in the lives of the people we're praying for, he gets the glory. When he comforts the sick or fixes logistical issues we've been having, he gets the glory. Why? Because he did the work. And when we ask the Lord to work in the midst of our troubles, we give him the glory he deserves. And we are supposed to be imitating leaders who pray for their people. You know how I know? Because Hebrews 13:17 tells me so. It tells us to think about our church leaders. It says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." If you survey great leaders of the Christian church, one thing they have in common is that they are committed to prayer. We can see in the life of the Apostle Paul, who told the Colossians that he and his partners in the ministry hadn't ceased to pray for them since the day they heard about them. That's Colossians 1:9. What an example of perseverance, nonstop prayer. Since the first day he knew about the people at Colossae. Now let's consider that and imitate this way of life. Consider also the example of Epaphras, who is one of you, he said, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, and whom Paul tells us was always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Now, that is in Colossians 4 and 12. So we need to remember the example of godly men like Paul and Epaphras, because they were men of prayer. Don't you know, servant leaders, that praying for God's people reflects the priority of the New Testament church? See, you have to understand, and I'm sure that you know, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was an answer to prayer. The earliest Christian leaders, along with just over 100 followers of Christ, were praying and waiting when God suddenly moved in power. You better go over and check out Acts chapter 1 and 2. You see, you will find that the earliest Christians devoted themselves to prayer, Acts 2 and 42. And as the church grew and the demands of leadership increased, church leaders realized they needed to reset their priorities. The neglect of some widows in the church had helped them realize they couldn't do everything. But what should be their focus? Should their focus be on benevolence or administration? These were good spiritual options, but the leaders of the early church knew something was better. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, they proclaimed, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. And then they were instructed to choose seven men from among them who was known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And they were going to turn that responsibility over to them, and they wanted to give their attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. Now, did you notice that what made the apostles' list of what to do? The study and the teaching of the Word and prayer. The corporate church couldn't leave the widows to starve, of course, but the leaders realized they would lose everything if they gave up on prayer. All the generosity required to care for the widows would have dried up if the leaders hadn't continued to dip their bucket into the wells of God's mercy by praying for God's people. So if we want to have a New Testament church, then we must understand the practice of New Testament prayer. And why do we need to pray as servant leaders? Because praying for God's people will help them to change. How can we expect God's people to change if we're not praying for them? As servant leaders, we want to see the people of God grow into more Christ-likeness. We want to see them be transformed. We prepare teachings that we believe will be life-changing through the Word of God, and we set examples, but we need to be setting that example to pray. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to be clear. We need counseling and preaching and training. We need all that. But what servant leaders need to be doing more than anything else, it's praying, because all of that other stuff is useless without the power of God being unleashed through prayer. The Apostle Paul saw prayer as a primary means of promoting the sanctification of God's people. This is why he prayed, asking God to fill him with knowledge. And we want to ask him to fill us with knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding that only the Holy Spirit can give, so that we can live a life worthy of the Lord, and we want to please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding, life change, fruit bearing, strength, power, endurance, and patience. What more could you ask for? The Apostle Paul For the Apostle Paul, all of these came to God's people by prayer. And again, in the book of Philippians, Paul prays that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. That is in Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. Now listen to this. Love, knowledge, depth of insight, discernment, purity, blamelessness, the fruit of righteousness to the praise and glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. Again, all of these blessings came through prayer. Do the congregations of the people that you serve manifest these characteristics? Well, perhaps they don't, because like in James 4 and 2, we don't ask. Oh, Lord Jesus, please move us to pray, because prayer is how ordinary men and women do extraordinary things for God. You know, we should always seek to be obedient to God's call to pray. Pray for the sick in accordance to James 5 and 14. Each time we gather with one of God's suffering saints to ask the Lord to heal him. I'm encouraged by a single verse in the book of James. James reminds us, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. That's James 5 and 17. You know what? I think that's phenomenal. He did that through prayer. And then think about, Elijah did that through prayer. And think about this. James was just told, had just told the sick to call the church elders to pray over the sick and hope they'll be healed. He seems to think that healing won't come once in a blue moon, but he believes that it is something we should expect God to do in the ordinary life of the church. See, we have, as servant leaders, we need to be like, we need to have the faith of Elijah. We need to start praying, expecting God to move, knowing that if our hearts are right, our motives are right, our mindsets are right, we're walking in righteousness, then how can we not want to pray for God's people? How can we not be calling God's people to pray? We can't even make a simple mistake without losing lives. And we're not praying. We see people being misplaced and displaced all over this world, and we're not calling people to pray. We see little babies being hurt, being exploited every day, and we're not calling people to pray. We can make a difference. We can make a difference by praying for the people that we serve, wanting the very best for them, seeing them as Jesus sees them. So servant leaders, are you going to come out and stand with us as Spirit Alive and pray? Because, see, we pray expecting. We pray believing. We pray trusting. Come on. The people of God need you. They need you to get in line and get into prayer. Get in your prayer closet. Pray for not just yourself, but pray for your flock. Pray that they will come into understanding. Pray that they will gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Pray that against the devil, you see things going on and you say nothing, let alone pray. If you're going to keep your mouth shut, at least pray. So that's my word to the servant leaders for tonight about prayer. And I just, like I said, I'm not coming in condemnation or accusation. I'm coming out of love, because my heart is hurt. I'm hurt because I expect more servant leaders to be calling us to pray and leading us in prayer and teaching us how to pray. So, you know, I just want you to stand with me, and now you will hear from our servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, and they will come in their own way as the Holy Spirit has led them to teach and to pray. And we're going to make comments. So we are going to start with Minister Tina Brown. Come on in the room, dear, with your thoughts, your teaching, and your prayer. Take your time.
Hallelujah. Praise God, my beautiful sister in Christ. That was a wonderful, wonderful message you just left us in our heart, and I so appreciate that. I am going to go into prayer right now about our precious children that are being targeted right now by the people that they look up to, like their teachers or family members or something in their life that is pulling them away from God. So, oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace today, lifting you up, giving you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. We ask that you lift up our precious children that mean so much to you, Heavenly Father. Lift them up. Guide them with your honor and protection from those who are trying to pull them away from you, who are trying to teach them things that are not of you, Heavenly Father. They have things in their face when it comes to social media or the TV or the grocery store or Target or whatever store they go to. They don't even know that it's not of you, Heavenly Father. So I pray that you protect our children. Keep them safe from things that are not of you, Heavenly Father. I pray for those who are trying to harm our children, Heavenly Father. I wish to lift them up to you, and I pray that they change their ways and that they find you, Heavenly Father, in their heart, and that they know that you are the only way through your Son, Jesus Christ, the only way to the kingdom of heaven, Heavenly Father, and that touching these beautiful children or trying to teach them to become something that is not of you, Heavenly Father, they'd be better to wrap a milestone around their neck and throw themselves in the depths of the sea than to hurt one of your children, Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
I lift them up to you, and I lift the people up that are trying to harm our children, maybe in ignorance, Heavenly Father, maybe in ignorance, but I do pray for them all, but most of all our precious children who are so impressionable, who just want to be loved, they want to be taught, and they want to be able to look up to somebody that is going to teach them the way, Heavenly Father. And right now, when they go to school every day, they're not being taught this. They're being taught things that are not of you, Heavenly Father. And I just lift them up to you right now. And I just pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Minister Tina. Yes, we know that you have a heart for the children. Minister Tina works with many charities that benefit children. So, you know, praise God that you always keep our children lifted up because they are indeed impressionable. Hallelujah. We're going to ask now to hear comments, teaching, and prayer from our most beloved Bishop Lester Carver.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Phil. Tonight, I really want to encourage each and every one of you to really focus on pleasing God, focus on serving God, focus on trusting God, and focus on loving God. And understand that your focus on God is going to cause you to want to speak to God. And it's your relationship with God that is rooted in your communication with God. See, when you communicate with God, you are acknowledging his presence. And that all by itself is something that he desires. He is longing for your communication with him. Now, just imagine the relationship you would have with your children, with your spouse, with your parents, with your grandparents, if you never, never communicated with them, or every once in a while you communicated with them. And that's why God invites us to communicate with him in many different ways. He invites us to communicate with him in prayer according to our understanding in our native language, in our native tongue. He invites us to sing praises to him in our native language and in our native tongue. He also invites us to sing praises to him in our heavenly language, in our heavenly tongue, by speaking in tongues, singing in tongues. And he invites us to speak in tongues in our heavenly prayer language to him. And see, when we step out of our natural position into our spiritual position, then that's when we tap into the power of who we are in Christ. When you are speaking in tongues at all times and building up your inner man on your most holy faith, you are latching on to the fullness of the power that God has placed within you. He's called us to embrace that power, not to reject it, not to be afraid of it, understanding that you are a spiritual being having a physical experience. And you have to allow this spiritual journey to be rooted in your spiritual communication with God in your heavenly prayer language. And then when you pray in your understanding, you're praying according to what you know. But when you're praying in the spirit, you're praying about things you don't need to know. But God knows what to say through you, even though you don't understand it. It's got to go through you and get back to heaven. And see, so many of us are in this position where we think we're trying to get ourselves into heaven, and God is actually trying to get heaven out of us. But we have to latch on to the power of the Holy Spirit within us and stop playing around. Now, I've heard that there has been some survey or something saying that your average pastor prays for 3 minutes a day. And I don't know if that's true or not. I know that there's propaganda. I know the devil's always trying to make it sound like we're not doing it. I'll tell you that if you're not speaking in tongues, you're probably not praying. And that is so connected to your faith. It is so connected to building up your inner man. And if you have not believed to step into that spiritual dimension, step into that spiritual dimension today. And it might not feel comfortable. You might not completely understand everything that God is calling you into, but spend some time reading 1 Corinthians chapters 11, 12, and 13. Just spend some time reading the Word of God and seeking the answers that God has for you. Read Romans chapter 12 and take some time to sit in that place and let the Word of God speak to you about what God wants to hear from you, because really he's asking us to allow his words to come from him to our spirit, to our mind, through our mouth, and out into reality here on earth so they can return to him in heaven. But there's power within us that needs to be exercised and redirected to whatever's going on in heaven. Now, one of the things I can tell you is going on in heaven is that the devil is before the throne of God accusing you and I every day, saying we're not worthy, saying that we deserve punishment. And the blood of Christ, our high priest, Jesus Christ, is before him saying, hey, you know what? That's been paid for. That's been paid for. That's been paid for. And the question we have to ask and answer ourselves is, who do we agree with? Who do we believe? Whose report are we going to walk into? Are we going to walk into the report of the devil saying that we're guilty and unworthy and we deserve to be punished today? Or are we going to stand behind the report in the defense of Jesus Christ, that his blood is enough, that his blood is powerful enough? And when we learn to praise God in that, the perfect praise that we put forth when we're speaking in our heavenly prayer language, when we're speaking in tongues, that's perfect praise. It's perfect prayer. It's perfect intercession. It is you speaking the wonderful works of God. And you can, and building up your inner man on your most holy faith. And there are so many other things the Word of God says you're doing when you're speaking in your heavenly prayer language. But we let people talk us out of what is spiritual, what is real, and lead us down a path that says, hey, it's okay to have a form of godliness and be nice and religious and do all the right things at the right time and sound so good. It's like, but reject the power. Let the power go. You don't have to walk in that spiritual stuff. It doesn't take all that. And I'll tell you what, that's a lie from the devil. Don't let the devil talk you out of your place in Christ, your place in the kingdom. God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear his words coming from your mouth and your mind. You know what? You can speak in tongues to yourself. The Apostle Paul said he spoke in tongues at all times. And when you look at the souls he won, when you look at the afflictions he endured and the things that he survived and the people he ministered to, that was because he was in communication. You cannot be in communication and think that you are embracing the fullness of the power of God. So I want to encourage you. Look, you know what? If your pastor's praying three minutes a day, pray for him to pray more. If your pastor does not speak in tongues, pray for he or she to speak in tongues. And if you are not speaking in tongues and prophesying yourself, believe to speak in tongues and prophesy. Because I'll tell you that all the way back before Pentecost, when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt from slavery, there were elders who were commissioned to help him with the assignment because the people were very upset. They were complaining. They were sick of eating what they were eating. They wanted some meat. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery. They wanted to eat fish and onions so bad. But God said, you know what? Get these 70 elders, and I'm going to allow the power that flows through you to flow through them. And then God did the same thing with Jesus Christ later on. And the power that flows through Christ flows through us. We have to embrace that power and not be among those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. We have to embrace the power. So don't be afraid of speaking in tongues. Don't be afraid of people telling you it doesn't take all that, because these people don't know how much God wants to bless you. So that is the word, but I'm going to pray real quick so that you all can hear what God is really, really interested in saying tonight.
Take your time, Bishop.
Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for you causing all to come to pass that you've placed within our heart. God, I thank you for how you answer our prayer because of the price that you paid at Calvary with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, for all of our sin to make us worthy to stand before your throne and to boldly receive your grace and your mercy to help in the time of need. God, I thank you for you giving us the desire to ask you for what we are in need of. I thank you for you giving us the desire to ask for what others are in need of. God, I thank you for you giving us the desire to seek and for you giving us the promise to find when we and knock. And Father, I thank you for you giving us the opportunity to open those doors that you place before us so that we can be of service to those that you have assign us to. Father, give us the wisdom to distribute to those that you would have us to distribute to and to withhold from those that you would have for us to withhold. Father, I thank you for you causing us to embrace all of the promises in your word and for you allowing us to believe that all things that we ask of you, we receive when we believe. And we pray, Father, I thank you for you allowing us to confidently stand in your presence, knowing that when we agree on anything, that you cause those things to come to pass. I thank you for the unity that you place within our heart to see your word go around the world and improve the lives of all those that you've called to be your children. Father, I thank you for you giving us the ability to stand in that place that you've called us to stand in so that we know and are confident that when we pray, you hear us and that our prayers will be answered. God, I thank you for others understanding the need to communicate with you in their heavenly prayer language so that they can understand who they are in the spirit so that they can walk out who you called them to be in this life during this period that we have here on earth to develop our relationship with you, to win those souls that you assign us to, people that only we can reach. God, I thank you for us looking for those souls, looking for those opportunities to minister to people who are seeking relationship with you, not those who would reject you, but those who are seeking relationship with you. God, allow us to go past our understanding and what that looks like, and allow us to reach out to those who are abroad, who are in agreement with us that your word is good, that your plan is good, that your purpose is good, that your power is good, that your praise is, that you are worthy of the praise that you deserve. God, I thank you for the ability that we have and the privilege that we have to stand in your presence and to receive all of the goodness of your word, of your Father. I thank you for the many people who will be impacted by the way that you use us here at Spirit Alive Network to touch the souls of those in South Korea, in Japan, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Brazil, in Australia, in Botswana, in Zambia, in Cameroon, in Saudi Arabia, in India, in Thailand, in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Russia, in Romania, in Italy, in Spain, in France, in Ireland, in Finland, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Poland, in Hungary, in Norway, in Latvia, and in Fiji. God, I thank you for you expanding that list of countries for the Spirit Alive Network and allow our ministry to set an example of what is possible when we yield to the power and leading of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the love that's shed abroad through all that we share with others, and I thank you for the restoration that you're bringing to all by free of the bondage that would come through religion, but the freedom that comes through the power of your word and the Spirit when we do what you give us to do and we embrace your commands as absolute. I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read. Now you will hear comments, teaching, and prayer from none other than Apostle Zeta Flowers. And it was her message yesterday that was really a springboard for my message to the servant leaders, because as servant leaders, the greatest service that we can do in showing our love, the greatest thing we can do in showing our love to God and to God's people is to pray. It's to pray. And I want to thank you, Apostle Zeta, for that wonderful message about being a servant. And we have to do, but when we're a servant, we have to do it all. And when we're a servant leader, we really have to do it all. So, Apostle Zeta, would you please come on in with your comments, your teaching, and your prayers?
Yes, I will. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I enjoyed what I have heard so far, your teaching and the two others that have shared. They came forth with what God put on their hearts. Tonight I want to pray for members, church members, members of
Hallelujah.
Ministries, because, as you were saying earlier, you know, they are not always taught what they should know about prayer and concerning prayer and how important it is, and it is essential.
Yes.
Praise God. So, my thing is about tonight is about teaching others how to communicate with God, and for them to helping them to understand how to ask of Him.
Yes,
what they have need of.
Amen.
And not only that, but helping them all. I believe that in helping and teaching them, showing them how important it is to communicate with God and to ask for what we need, it will also help them to be dependent on God. Because so often people will depend on others, you know, only look to their pastors or others that they know, family members, friends, and so forth, in meeting some of their needs. And it's so important that we help them to realize that they can go to God for themselves. And then once we can help them to realize that they can pray for themselves, then we can help them also to know that they can pray for others as well and that their prayers will be answered. Teaching them to listen after prayer, to hear God, and teaching them how to hear God, you know, and even going as far as giving them scriptures about prayer.
Yes, yes.
And then I think that another thing that is missed among us in ministries and in our churches is that oftentimes the members, we may be teaching, if that does happen in certain churches, then we also need to allow them to know that they need to be grounded in the Word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you know, even in their praying, because I think that Bishop Carter brought that out, you know, that, you know, when we're led by the Spirit, sometimes the prayer that we thought, he didn't say that, but I mean, it was close, that, you know, God already knows what we have need of. And so, you know, even those of us that are prayer warriors, I know for myself, sometimes I get ready to go into prayer to ask for something specific, and the Holy Spirit will lead me to pray for something else that was not on my heart to pray for. And so we are empowered and led by the Holy Spirit if we allow for that. So teaching them to really be grounded in the Word of God is very important because they can learn scripture that will help them to know and realize that they can trust God. And, you know, they, that's where their trust should be in God, you know. And then to help them to realize and know through the scriptures that, you know, he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have our needs met. He doesn't want us to be without. So, but there's some scriptures I'm going to read as well. But it's just so important to teach them how to pray. And the, even the children that I care for, even the little ones, some of the ones that I have had in the past, I taught them how to pray at an early age. And I spoke in a way that they would understand as little children. I also had a CD that I played for them to listen to. And they learned how to pray. And then different ones would ask them, what does prayer mean to them? And they could tell them. And one of them was only, I think he was only 3 at the time. He said, I know how to pray. And so he told us how he prayed. And he says, it's talking to God. I can talk to God. And I can tell God what I need. So they learn early, but they have to be taught. And so oftentimes in the church, you know, and I have seen people that, you know, have been in the church for a while, but they really don't know how to pray because they haven't been taught. And there's places where I've seen only the leaders prayed. I think we have to allow out time for them to pray and to listen to them pray, to hear them pray, so that they will feel comfortable going to God on their own. All right. There's some scriptures I wanted to just kind of bring out. I was thinking about also in our praying, people also need to know how to praise God. You know,
they need
to know how to come into adoration.
Yeah.
Lift him up, to thank him, you know, even before we begin to pray. So I chose some scripture that came by way of David. Psalms 139, verse 4, I'm going to start with verse 14, where David says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. So he understood that. So he's praising the Lord for who he is. He says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being imperfect, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Praise God. But that's how much God cared. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So he goes on to say, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. But when I awake, I am still with thee. Amen. So we wake up with him every morning. And then Psalm 138 says, okay, verse 6, talking about his enemies. Though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. So even when we go into prayer asking the Lord for certain things that we have need of, we can go into prayer knowing that he will perfect that which concerns us, no matter what that is, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're faced with, even, you know, concerning our enemies. We know that God will take care of us in the midst of the trouble. Hallelujah. And Psalm 140, speaking of enemies, he says, that's Psalm 140, verse 1, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man. And then verse 4, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. And I've shared these scriptures a lot with women that are going through domestic violence or have been through domestic violence. Praise God. And then here's another prayer from David in Psalm 141. It says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he will make haste. When we go to God in prayer, he knows when we can wait was a certain thing. And sometimes we want it right now, but it's not his timing. But he also knows that when we need his help right now and right then, hallelujah, and we can say, Lord, make haste. like David did. Hallelujah. As we cry out to him, and he will come to our aid. Amen. That's what I felt led to share.
Amen. Amen. Are you going to pray, Apostle?
Yes.
Yes, I want to lift up those that are the members of the churches and ministries that need to know how to pray. Father God,
amen.
I come before you, lifting these ones up, asking, Lord, that you would touch in the name of Jesus those that are in churches where they're not growing, where they're not learning, where they're basically just there, and when they leave, they have not received what they need. I just pray for your help, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would guide them, that if they need to be in a different setting, that you would allow for that. They would be moved where they can know more about communicating with you in prayer and growing deeper in your word and knowing you more, having a relationship with you and knowing and understanding who you are and how much they are loved by you, whether they are feeling it from anyone else, but they really know that you care and that you love them and that you want the best for them. I pray for that to take place, that you might guide them and lead them to where they need to be, and also that you would give instruction to their pastors, their servant leaders, and whoever else is there teaching them and preaching, that they may have a better understanding of who you really are. In Jesus' name. And those that are going through right now in battle, attacks that have come upon them and spiritual attacks and all kinds of things that they're dealing with, demonic forces, I want to lift them up also in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, that you would help them to know, Lord, that they can walk in your power, that you have given us power and authority over Satan's attacks and over all these demonic forces, and that also they will be taught how to go into spiritual warfare.
Yeah,
they will have a
yeah.
better understanding. They will know, hallelujah, that they don't have to just sit back and allow Satan to do his due, but that we can
yeah.
fight back, and that you have given us your divine weapons.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
We can utilize, hallelujah, that we will be free of his attacks. Not totally, but because he always comes back, but then we will know your strategies and the approaches that we need to utilize in order to continue doing what we are to do in the body of Christ. And we thank
yeah.
you for it. We
thank
praise
you
tonight
Jesus.
For all
yes,
that you're
Lord.
Doing in the body and how you're using your servant leaders.
Thank
those
you,
that
Lord.
Are falling short as far as pastors
lift,
and other leaders. We pray, Lord, that they will be lifted up and that they will do
yes,
according
Lord.
To what you have told them to do. In
Jesus' yes,
name,
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen. And now, last but not least, never least, we're going to hear from Pastor Vanessa. Now, Pastor Vanessa, we're going to hear her comments, her teaching, and her prayer that God has given her. But I'm also going to ask her to pray for this prayer meeting, because we really want to her to pray and intercede, you know, as a prophet does, because we really do want the pastors to teach and to pray
Amen.
For the people so that they can change. We really do want everyone to guard up their inner man and to walk in the spirit and to understand that they have power and dominion to you know, we really want them to know how wonderful God is and the power
Amen.
That they have in Christ Jesus. So Pastor Vanessa, we have plenty of time. So please come on in and let the Lord have his way with you.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. It's good to be here. It's good to be part of prayer. I'm passionate about prayer because prayer is connection to God, and it opened up so many doors for me. And because prayer works, y'all, it works, and it changes
yeah.
things, and it
yeah.
more than what sometimes we can be taught. It's a lot of times
yeah.
things we have to experience. One of the things
Amen.
That God had been dealing with me about all week and last week was in Matthew 6, about how he taught them how to pray. And it
yeah.
comes from, the narrative comes from Matthew 5 and 20, when they were when he was talking about the Pharisees and how they prayed. And I think, you know,
come
he
on,
was, he was talking about the authenticity and hypocrisy. But I want to just
yeah.
read that to you. For I say unto you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And
Amen.
So this is Jesus teaching and talking to them. And then
yeah.
the reference goes into Matthew 6, verse 5. And you know how he said, and you shall pray, but don't pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray
yeah.
standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be
mm-hmm.
seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward.
Yeah.
But you, when you pray, you
mm-hmm.
go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now, reading different versions in the Gospels, Matthew mentions this. I think Luke also does too. And if you go, and it's also mentioned in Luke 11, 2 through 4. So as you study this, as I was studying it, there's certain things that God had me pay attention to. And it was really the first couple of verses before, it was verses 5 through 8,
okay.
5 through 9, because he was talking about hypocrites and how we
yeah.
do things to be seen. And
yeah.
really, if you're communicating with God, you have to, and Apostle Cook mentioned it, about your spirit, about what's going on with you, what's your motive, how you
mm-hmm.
serve, whatever the case may be. And who you're praying for and what you're praying about. And so I wanted to mention that, but I remember one time I had no words. And many times it says that the Spirit gives us intercession, right?
Amen.
So when we have no words, our
yeah.
mourning and groanings communicate to God. But I also
right.
know I prayed this prayer. I've known this prayer since I was a kid. Our Father who in heaven, and it brought me to my knees.
Yeah.
I just prayed it with a pure heart. And I began
yes,
to focus, and really the Spirit was focusing on each word, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name.
Thy
and it made
name.
Me think
yes.
of what Apostle Zeta was saying about praise and adoration and worship
yes.
in our prayer. Sometimes
yes.
that's where I stop. It's like I just have to do that to unload and let God know he's great. In my life, he's
yes.
worthy to be praised. It's like, don't forget to give him his props. Don't forget to love on him because he loves on us every day. And
every day.
So when you say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then it has to do with his will and his purpose, his kingdom and his will, his kingdom and his will. So these are the things
come
that
on,
I, like
come
I'm thinking
on,
about all day long. I'm thinking about all day long. His kingdom come, his will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Right? So every line, every precept in this and how he taught them to pray was for a reason.
Yes.
But we have to always be mindful of not parading and not showing out and not doing things to be accepted by people. But this is our divine communication with the Lord. And I said, well, we have to address these things today. He addressed them, and we still have to address them. And he said, forgive us of our debts. And so all these different things came to me throughout the day about delivering me from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory and forever and ever. Amen. So we open with praise and we end with praise, right? And being thankful. So I think that if we take that as a template, everyone, we will begin to learn to pray the word. We'll begin to learn to lift him up in praise. We'll begin to say, these are all the things that you are. These are your character traits, God.
These are
the things, you know, however God leads you. Be pure about it. Sometimes it will feel at first that it is kind of, mechanical or whatever. But you have to pray for yourself first sometimes before you start praying for other people. And you have to pray for your, let's just get honest. I remember one time God started having me do that. I was unaware. I would just start praying. And he would say, why don't you pray for yourself as it pertains to this issue first?
I would say, okay.
And he would empower me by me praying for myself to pray for others. When I pray, I believe not just because of my call, but just how God deals with me in intercession is that you're literally building up something, tearing something down, something's being exposed, something is being proclaimed, something is being declared, something is being addressed, something that's hidden is it being exposed, something is being torn down, something is being dismantled. So he said, so even Vanessa, when you're not praying, you're praying. Watch what you say.
Amen.
Watch what comes out of your mouth. My mouth is getting me in trouble.
Thank you, Jesus. Your prayer before you
formally pray, he's going to be addressing the things in your heart. What did you say today? What did you speak today? Like, was that edifying for the situation that you've been praying against and for? And then you tear it all up and nullify it with what you spoke today.
Then there's
conviction. So just keep in mind that prayer starts before you pray. Prayer is every day. Prayer is the things that are being practiced in your heart. And I truly understand now because I had to teach, I teach this series on unforgiveness. One of the things that came to light, just like it says here, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive. Forgive is in here a lot. And it even goes on further in 14. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So that forgiveness is an intricate part of the prayer.
You
know how that prayer that says, pray, forgive your brother before you come and pray, something to that nature. Excuse me. And then I said, you know, I always heard that. I had a level of understanding that wasn't that fruitful. But when I started to study and teach about unforgiveness, he said, you know why? And I said, I'm starting to really understand why it's so important that we forgive when we pray. Others, if we have things in our heart. That is a block. That's a mental block. That's an emotional block. That's a spiritual block. Come on, Pastor.
Amen.
And a lot of times we don't see it that way, but got to deal with that stuff in your heart first. And it's like, you need to forgive them. How are you going to really effectually pray for them if you haven't forgiven them? Oh, I'm good. We good. No, you're not. That's the time when he kind of gets in your business and he needs you. Because our prayers can be pure. They're not always going to be perfect. And what I mean by that is we don't have always eloquent speech. We don't always have the words. But as long as they are pure. I can tell the difference between a pure prayer and a perfect prayer.
You feel it.
So I think, like Apostle Zeta was saying, there's leaders that need to learn to pray from that pure place.
It don't take a whole lot of words.
Amen.
That's right.
It don't take eloquent words. We don't have to do a word search or word study to be able to pray from a pure place.
Come on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Say that.
So I think that when we pray for our leaders, just pray sincerely. It'll move some things. I'm telling you.
Yes.
Pray
yes.
from
yes.
a sincere place. That's why when children
yes.
pray, they pray from a pure place, like Apostle Zeta was saying, teaching her children that she teaches to pray. I said, that's a powerful thing. I also want to mention that when a man of God prays, that's a powerful thing.
That's a powerful
thing.
Yeah.
Man
yes,
of God,
is.
A
Ooh,
man
yeah.
that prays,
yeah.
that knows who he is, that doesn't, is not struggling with identity crisis, is not trying
come
to be
on,
seen by
on,
people,
Pastor.
Is a powerful thing. And as
it's
we, as Apostle Zeta has said, and Apostle Cook has mentioned about the men. Men
yeah.
that pray are a powerful
yes.
thing. And
that
I pray that we get more men that will pray because we need y'all strength. We need y'all to
yeah,
shut things
right.
down. We can shut things down
right.
too. But I'm telling you, a man that will pray, it's almost
come
like
on.
A surge.
yes,
it
is.
It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful, powerful thing. So I always encourage certain people that I that are male that do that I have mentored in the past to encourage them to pray and intercede as God
yes,
leads.
Yes, yes.
Out loud.
Amen.
Out
so
loud
so people can hear you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So people can hear that and they will discern
no,
purity and
up.
Strength behind that. So
yeah.
I just wanted no, people to be encouraged. And then I wanted to pray about or just talk about one more verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18.
Yes.
That talks about praying. Rejoice always in delighting your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer in every
yes.
situation, no matter what
yes.
the circumstances. Be thankful and continually giving thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ
for
Jesus.
You.
And I think that
yes.
when we say thank you in that position of prayer and submission, that is also powerful too.
Yes.
That is also powerful too. Have you ever been with somebody, this is I'm using this analogy because it's a perfect analogy. My husband,
mm-hmm.
he runs, he's got great circulation, so he has a lot of heat on him.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tendency to be cold. I've always was cold. He's just warm all the time, and so I could literally sometimes feel the heat coming off of him. And I'm like, get away from me. You're making me hot, especially now that I'm going through menopause.
Yes,
I don't need to be near
yes.
him. When people pray in power and might and purity, don't you know you can feel that heat? It's not
yes.
even a natural heat. Something rises up off of them.
Yes.
I've been
yes.
around intercessors of different levels, and it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter if you've gone to seminary.
Come on.
If you learn to pray from a pure place and pray the word, that will
yes.
be felt.
Yes.
People
yes.
will say, I felt that. It's not why
yes.
you're praying to hear people say, I felt that. But I tell you, they will feel it. And
they
sometimes
it's
a powerful thing. And sometimes people don't
mm-hmm.
like to feel when somebody pray. They don't like to feel that.
Yeah.
They don't like to feel convicted. They don't like to feel moved.
No.
They don't like to feel, God really is real. I need to give him praise and adoration. So
come on.
Pray continuously. That means be open, be ready, be available to God. In your life will always be a prayer in itself, and it won't be fake. It won't be super,
come
you know,
on.
Religious or sacramental. It will
come
be
on.
Like that is a praying person. That is a praying
That's
person.
Right.
They do
That's
not
right.
pray when it comes to prayer. They may not even like you. My husband has a great story about somebody he worked with, and I know Bishop Carver's online, that he worked with, that this man was a self-pronounced atheist
mm.
and was always saying disparaging things about Christianity and Christians. And he worked with him. But when that man got cancer, he came and asked Lester to pray for him.
Come on.
And the man
That's
got healed.
Come on.
And
how
the man
go?
Got healed. And kept saying he was an atheist after that. Now, this is, they know God's real. So
yeah, they do.
When we pray, they know I may not like that brother. I may have issues with Christianity, but I know they can get a prayer through. They know
Come
that.
Come on. Yeah, man.
So I think that we don't have mm-hmm. to hide our lights under a bushel when it comes to prayer. We
That's
can,
right.
And sometimes when I told this one lady at my job the other day, I said, I'm praying for you. And she knew I wasn't just talking, like, okay, we'll have lunch.
Come
Not
on.
Like that. But she said, I really appreciate that, and I know you're going to pray for me. I am.
Amen.
I am.
That's wonderful.
So I just want to start in with all my commentary, and I am going to pray for what Bishop has told me to pray. I'm also going to pray. I'm going to pray that first, and then I will pray what God leads me to pray as it pertains to what I've shared tonight. It's almost kind of like what Apostle Zeta prayed for our leaders.
Yes.
And I also was reading today about false teachers. So I was studying that earlier today and about the spirit of apostasy. But I'm going to pray first for the leaders to be moved to intercede. Some leaders in our city have even had an all-night prayer and praise service because of their neighborhoods and things going on in the city. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much because your name is worthy to be praised in all the earth.
Yes.
And thank you for being high and lifted up and what that symbolizes today in this ministry and all the different countries that are listening and how it's an honor to serve and to understand just really being inspired by that message yesterday from Apostle Zeta about serving and taking it up another level. And I thank you, Lord, today for the power of prayer and divine communication that we have with you. That it should not be taken lightly. I pray, Lord, that people be encouraged and open up their hearts to learn to pray from a pure place. Lord, I know that you are the one that purifies our hearts by the things that we go through. So I even pray that the manifestation of tests and trials and maturation and progressive sanctification will purify the hearts of the leaders to pray boldly. Even as it pertains to all the different denominations. And what I see to hear the Lord saying right now is there are some ministers that know how to pray in boldness, but they only do it secretly, and they're afraid to pray certain things because of the denomination that they are associated with. In the name of Jesus, I pray for them to rise up in courage, to be courageous. This man and this woman of God, they're not doing it for show, but they know that there are certain things that need to be prayed. And I thank you, Lord, today for that woman of God to be bold, to Lord, you protect them and you encourage them and you help them to focus and move forward. I thank you, Lord, today right now, that even as it pertains to where they are and over that organization that they're a part of, it'll bring the house down. And not because of entertainment or people being amused or people being, it's because of God's righteousness. It says in the scripture, as we just read, about righteousness. And God is calling for righteousness. So this man or woman of God in this organization, I pray, Lord, that you lift him up in a place above the noise and above these false affiliations and alliances, Lord, and they break away from that. And you strengthen them because just as our Apostle Cook has said, it is time. It has been time for our leaders to boldly pray for each other out loud. We do need to hear ourselves pray. That's another thing that Apostle Zeta said. They need to hear themselves pray. They need to learn that God hears them for themselves. So I pray, Lord, that you, that especially those children and those who are innocent and new in the faith, they're new, they're unchurched, but they know you talk to them and they know you listen. So I pray, Lord, that the leaders and those who are led to lead and those who are serving in all kinds of ministries, whether you're dealing with a homeless community, you might be in some domestic violence shelters, you might be in the hospital, you might be called as a chaplain in certain places, even in the military. I pray, Father God, right now, even those who are Bible teachers, Sunday school teachers, summer school coming up for some people, they going to pray with their students, Bible teachers. They are going to pray. I pray over the schools right now. There are some people that God is positioned to teach in the schools to pray. They may be a substitute teacher. They may be a janitor. They may be a cafeteria, but they are undercover, and they're there to pray and intercede.
But they're going to teach. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. And I thank you for them. And I thank you for protecting that man and woman of God who has taken that position right now in your kingdom.
Yes.
You know, God will choose whoever he needs to choose to do what he said. So I thank you, Lord, to help us to be obedient to your word and everything that we do. We don't got to be confused. I thank you, Lord, for lifting off the spirit of fear, lifting off the spirit of trepidation and intimidation and even witchcraft that tries to arrest the minds and the hearts of the leaders because they won't do something. And then it's about money. It's about being bullied behind the scenes. It's about these false alliances. It's about falling away, these false doctrines, and all these evil teachers and these false teachers. And I thank you, Lord, today that there is a separation that we already are seeing and that we can't be afraid.
That's right.
Rise up.
That's
we call against also some of these people and families that are leaders, but they're leading people astray. They're leading these young people to be afraid to pray. They're leading these young people to be afraid to intercede in their neighborhood and come against the drug dealers and come against, you know, the people standing on the corner creating all kinds of confusion. They're young people.
I see them
in the spirit. Who want to hit the street, and they want to pray these demons out of their neighborhoods and out of their homes and out of their schools. These are babies.
Yes.
I see. These are children.
Oh, yes, Jesus. Do it, Lord.
Yes.
Bless these babies, Lord.
Yes.
Jesus. There's so much to pray about, as Apostle Cook has said. And, Lord, I thank you that we hear her heart. We hear your heart through her heart.
Amen.
Her heart is broken because yours is. And I believe when we serve, we do hear, we feel the feelings of the Lord.
Yes.
Her heart is broken because yours is.
Amen.
There's too much going on.
Yeah.
So I thank you, Lord, today that we be active. That we be active. Our families are being torn apart. This is in the body of Christ.
Yes.
So I thank you, Lord, to help us to be bolder, to be consistent, not to be selfish with the things that we know, so we can teach on the airways. Let's take control of the airways again. Let's change the algorithm of Facebook and YouTube and all these demonic algorithms that are used for all kinds of stuff, all kinds of sophisticated AI technologies and things like that, and that nature being used for the kingdom of darkness. And I thank you, Lord, today that we begin to come against that. That's what Spirit Life is about. That's what these podcasts are about. That's what these global outreaches are about when we see that we unify each other, that we get and we pray for other ministries that are making a mark. But there's so much resistance for what they're doing because we don't agree about something or just foolishness.
Amen.
And about money and about influence.
Yes, come on.
Lord.
So I thank you, Lord, today for the ministries that are called to domestic violence. I thank you for the ministries that are ministering to those as it pertains to deliverance, and they're exposing demonic activity. They're called to that.
Lord.
That's what they're teaching, and they're taking dominion. I thank you, Lord, today for those of the ministries that are missionaries that are going to other countries and creating aid and different things to other countries and ministering, laying on of hands and healing. That's what they're called to.
Lord.
They don't
have
to be doing the same thing.
That's right.
Yes,
Jesus.
Lord. Amen.
Jesus.
So I thank you, Lord, today for those who are building orphanages, those who are truly building orphanages for those who are refugees and they're lost without no parents and different things of that nature. Raise them up, Lord. Continue. I pray for them as they pray for you. I pray their prayers are answered. I pray that, Lord, whatever they're praying that's intangible as it pertains to strength and peace and understanding and intervention and strategies that come from you. Everything is not just about physical stuff. They're praying for wisdom. They're praying for doors to open and opportunities. They're praying for help. They're praying against to give us strength to resist what's resisting us. They're praying against these things and divine opportunities. They're praying for business strategies. They're praying. Lord, I thank you for hearing their prayer. I know you're going to hear their prayer, but help us to pray for them and pray for each other more, unapologetically and intentionally. Lord, I believe your word. I believe everybody that spoke tonight, everybody had a pure spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Minister Tina praying for the church. Apostle Zeta praying for leaders. Apostle Zeta and Apostle Cook praying for leaders as well and servants that people's heart will turn and change.
Yes, Lord, so
that we can stop breaking your heart.
Yes, Lord.
I pray for healing. Last thing I'm going to pray, Apostle Cook. Pray for healing over the leaders. There needs to be all kinds of emotional healing, spiritual healing.
Yes, Lord.
We need to understand that rest, that what rest is, what Jesus said it was, what he did, is a level of warfare. We need to know how to fight against spiritual things. And I thank you, Lord, today that it's not going to be hard when we are in agreement, when we study and begin to act these things out. There's mandates against us. There's mandates against the kingdom of God. But just like we prayed the Lord's Prayer, your will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And so I thank you, Lord, that every day as we begin to agree with your word and pray it over our children, over our ministries, and over ourselves, that it will be well.
Yes.
It'll be better than well. And we already have the victory. So I just thank you, Lord, today for this opportunity to be able to pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen and hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
I just stand in agreement with these heartfelt prayers that have been prayed tonight. Father, I just come praising you.
Yes.
Because, Lord God, we know that you are Almighty, and we know that you are working it out for our good, and we know, hallelujah, that we are being effective, Lord God, because you are showing us that we are effective, and we are grateful to you, God. We just want to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. I want to thank the mighty servant leaders that took out time on this Memorial Day to come out and pray, because we just want people to be healed and we want them to be delivered and healed and restored and transformed. And the last prayer we're going to pray tonight is for the lost, because we do this to reach the lost. We want everyone to come into relationship with King Jesus. We want everyone to know how to yield to the Holy Spirit so they can build up their inner man, so that they will be able to receive everything that God wants them to have in order to do what he wants them to do. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, first and foremost, I come thanking you for all the prayers that have went up tonight. Lord, I stand in agreement with these prayers, but right now I come praying for the lost, for those that don't know you in the pardon of their sin. Lord God, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that not only will you use us to be salt and light, but that you would use your people, that Christians everywhere would stand up, Father God, and speak out for your glory, that we would live and walk in righteousness, Lord, unapologetically, so that people could see who you are. Hallelujah. I pray in the name of Jesus that we would show compassion, that we would be intentional about our love for you and our love for others by showing compassion, by being humble, by walking, Lord God, in the way that Jesus walked. I pray right now, Father God, and I thank you for all of those who will return to you, who have been hurt, Lord God, and who have been isolated. We pray that they return to the fold, because we know that that's only a trick from the enemy. We pray, Lord God, that churches everywhere would unite in spite of denominations. Lord God, we are all your people, and if we call you Abba Father, we should be united, standing together, reaching the lost, helping those that need help, Lord. We should be standing in the gap. We should be the resources, Lord, not the government, not programs, but we, your your people, the church, we should be building up. We should be edifying. We should be teaching. We should be leading, Father God, so that we, this world can be a better place. I want to thank you for everything that you do for us, in us, and through us. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. And we pray that for those that just gave their lives to the Lord, hallelujah, and all that takes is you for asking him to forgive you of your sin, come into your life and save you and use you, and then you will understand the things of God, because the Holy Spirit will teach you the things of God. We want you to study. We want you to get busy, but we want you to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. And the way you know what the Holy Spirit needs you to do is through prayer. Pray for yourself. Speak life over yourself. When you see a situation, don't put it off. Pray about it. If it touches your heart, pray about it, and pray about it now, and pray about it like Pastor Vanessa said, with a pure heart. Just don't toss something up there. Oh, Lord, touch that. Don't just throw something up there. Actually, take the time. Sit down if you have to and pray about it, because prayer does change things. And we want to hear your prayers. So when we have prayer meetings, we truly invite you to call in. We truly invite you to pray. We want to hear your voice. We know that there's some mighty prayer warriors out there, but you're never given an opportunity to pray out loud. We'll give you an opportunity to pray out loud here. Hallelujah. Because we're going to keep it real. We know we can pray. Hallelujah. We teach others how to pray. We want to hear you pray now so we can stand in agreement with you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we all need to know, if we are in the body of Christ, we all need to know that when we pray, God hears us and he answers us. We don't have to run to one another. Oh, please pray for me. Oh, I need you to pray for me. Where is your faith?
Amen.
Where is your faith? You're standing in Christ just like I am, just like Apostle Zeta or Pastor Vanessa or Minister Tina or Bishop Lester. You're in the body. You're in the fold just like we are. Now, we don't get me wrong, we don't mind standing with you in prayer.
Right.
But you don't need to run to us or a priest or, you know, a spirit. No. All you have to do is go to the Lord with a sincere heart and lift up what you need to lift up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love what Pastor Vanessa said. You need to allow him to tear down, you know, dismantle, do whatever he needs to do.
Right.
In order for that to come to fruition, which takes listening. Hallelujah. And we really need to do that for the sake of our children. Minister Tina has a love for the children, and we all should have a love for the children, and we should love them enough to live and to live in holiness, to walk in righteousness, to live that word that we're teaching.
That's right.
So that when they get out there, there's already a foundation built from the inside out.
Yes.
And like Pastor Vanessa said, they, instead of them getting persuaded by the gang members, they'll be praying for them.
Amen.
You know, instead of being influenced by the gang members, they'll be rebuking them demons and praying them up out of their neighborhood in the name of Jesus. But we got to do the work. So that means we've got to stay on our knees. We've got to pray without ceasing. We've got to persevere in prayer.
Yes.
We just can't throw it up there and think it'll stick. No. Now, we don't have to beg God, but we have to let God know that we love others enough to continually pray for them as we pray for ourselves, and we pray that others are praying for us. I know I need prayer. And I believe I receive prayer not only from my spirit alive family, but from others. And that's what strengthens me. That's what keeps
Thank
me
you,
going.
Jesus.
The prayers of the righteous avail as much. I believe
Thank
that.
You, Lord. Amen.
I believe that with everything that's in me. I believe that God and God alone is able to change things. So I want to praise God for the wonderful servant leaders again, Minister Tina Brown, Bishop Lester Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and Pastor Vanessa Carver. I love you with all my heart. Hallelujah. These are faithful servant leaders who are always ready, at the ready to stand and pray because they understand that prayer is, you know, prayer is just our weapon of choice. Okay, I'm just going to keep it real.
Yes.
Prayer
is our
weapon of choice. And that's followed right up by the word of God, you know. So
yeah.
I want to thank you, and I want to thank all of you that were in the chat rooms. I did see you, and I want to thank all of you that are listening around the world via your computers, via your Instagram and Skype. God bless you. We love you. Continue to pray. Hallelujah. And it is our prayer that each and every one of you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Pray and watch God move. And
Amen.
From my household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from the Spirit Alive family. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Good night. Good night, family.
God bless
I love you.
Good night.
God
love you.
Love you.